also would welcome each one this morning. We're going to start, I promised y'all on Mother's Day when I shared the message there that, you know, we had a message for the mothers, and I said, we'll get to the dads. And, well, we're going to have to start today. There's going to be a series of four messages that we're going to be going through, so moms, y'all can take courage in this, is that evidently we felt that the dads need only three times as much as what y'all did. But anyhow, the message this morning is going to be entitled, as you see, Courageous versus Complacent. If you don't know what the word complacent means, it means a self-satisfaction. It means to be accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. To just be oblivious could be another word for it, a one-word term. Oblivious to what's going around. Courageous versus complacent. And we won't even go to it this morning at all, but I just want to make reference to it, and that's found in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, I believe it is. But in those several verses there, Joshua was going to take over as leader after Moses passed away. And in there, God told Joshua that I will do this and this and this and this and this for you. And then he said, only be strong and courageous. He went on to say, and I will do this and this. And then went on to say, only be strong and courageous. And then he continued on, I will do this and this for you. Only be strong and courageous. Then it went to the people of Israel that Joshua was going to be leading. When they heard what Joshua was going to be asking of them and what their responsibility was going to be, they said, we will follow you in everything what you say. We will follow you in what you do. We will walk after your ways. And again, as he followed the Lord. But you know what their response was too? It says, only be strong and courageous. So not only did God tell Joshua three times to be strong and be courageous, but even the Israelites that he was going to be leading also came up to him then, and he said, we will also follow you. Just be strong and be courageous. Be bold. Even when it's unpopular, to know what is the right thing to do. And that's what we want to share this morning is, we're going to be speaking to the dads, to the husbands, but this message applies to each one here, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're young, whether you're old. And I want to just show a short video clip, and it's just a couple minutes long here, and I just want you all to watch it, and then I'm just going to ask you a couple questions on it right when we get towards the end of it. What do you think? This fellow who owned this truck, as we're assuming, was the one that was pumping the gas. What is your response to his actions? Anyone? Okay, someone else? Okay, beyond that. Okay. Someone else? Okay. How many would agree with what Sandra said? He must have really loved his truck. And Timmy sort of alluded to that too.
I'm not worried about the car.
It's all right, sir. It's okay.
There's a baby in the car. Yeah, I think it's his dad that's with him. Yeah, I think he's all right.
How many of y'all are sorry for prejudging the situation? When you know the whole story, it wasn't about his truck, was it? Your whole attitude changed once you realized what this guy was fighting for. He had no idea what was going to happen to that young child of his. And when we realized that young child was in there, our whole thought process changed, didn't it? Once we knew the full story. How many times are you influenced by others around you who might even judge you and judge your actions based on what they see you doing or maybe what they see you not doing? Are you willing to allow other people's judgment influence your life? Or are you willing to be strong, to be courageous, and to do what you know that God has called you to because you know the whole story? Then another question I would have is what you with children, what scares you the most in the life that you're living and in the stages that your children, as you look out ahead, you look out at the way our world is, the way things are going. If you don't have children and you look ahead thinking of someday getting married, having children, what are all the thought processes that go through your mind? You know, it's like it's a bad world to bring up children. You know, it's a scary thought. But yet, the Bible doesn't change. You know, and Elvin alluded to the fact that we have many young families here, and we do, and we are so grateful for them. But yet, there is a huge, huge responsibility that we have as fathers, as mothers, as church people. We're going to be doing some baby dedications here in about 2 weeks. And in that time there, you're going to have opportunity to, these parents that will be up here will be saying, I'll allow you to have input into the life of my child. I even welcome that. And then we'll be asking for commitment from y'all that you're willing to even help raise these young children. To even maybe say the hard things sometimes when you see things. And that's a hard thing to do. That is a difficult thing to do, is to speak to someone else about their children. You have to be very, very careful with it. You have to bathe it in prayer. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you before you would even consider doing something like that, to speak into the life of a parent regarding their children. But we all need that because we have blinders on our eyes. We can't see when we're right in the middle of a situation so many times. And that's why the beauty of the church, that's the beauty of family in the church body, is that we can help each other mold and to grow our young people. Fatherhood, it's a huge responsibility. It causes the need to be courageous. It causes us to take and say, we will not be complacent because we only have a few short years. The communists, they would tell you that you give me your child for 7 years, the first 7 years of their life, to teach and to train, and you can have them back and do what you want with them. But if you let us have them for the first 7 years, we will mold them for life. So we have a huge responsibility, parents. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. Courage would be action in spite of fear. That man that was in jumping in the driver's window of that truck, do you think he had fear? Of course he did. But he had a way bigger, overpowering force that was within him that way overcame his fear. And that was that young life that was a part of his body. That overrode his fear, and he knew it wasn't even a decision, it was a reaction. And that's what I would like for us to come to understanding in a greater way this morning, is that as we live out our lives, as we do what we do, that it becomes so ingrained in us that the life that I live and the way I conduct myself, the things that I do or the things that I don't allow myself to do, are simply because I'm not only looking at my life and what I want, but I'm looking out for the future of my children. How many of you know who Tara is? How many of you heard of Tara? How many of you have heard of Abraham? He didn't have a last name. Abraham in the Bible. Yeah. Did you know that Tara was Abraham's father? Well, all we know about Tara is that he moved along and he settled in this one place, and that's where he stayed and accumulated wealth. I married my daughter and my new son-in-law 1 week ago. If you notice when you were there, I used in my prayer, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be with you. I didn't use the word Terah, but I did use the word Abraham. Abraham made some decisions in his life that I would say were long-standing, wouldn't you? Abraham had a faith, and he's also listed, and we'll get to that. He was listed in the Heroes of Faith there in Hebrews. Well, this morning, we want to look at 3 points. And the first one being is that courageous Christians, they follow God's promise, even if it's into the unknown. And that's found in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. And I want to read from that this morning. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. And this is some of God's promises to Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. Well, from maybe many of us this morning, God wouldn't have to go a whole lot further than that right there till we'll plug our ears, because I can't. I have got... I'm on mute. You fill in the blanks. Why you couldn't go. He went on to say, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed because of you. Look at verse 4. Very simple statement. It says, so Abraham left as the Lord told him. I don't know how much time elapsed between the end of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4, but I would have a feeling it's probably not a real long time. Abraham, for some reason, was a man of faith, and he believed God, and he took God simply at His word. The likely thing for Abraham to do would have been to stay where he was because his father had accumulated wealth and Abraham was the oldest son of his father and his father was the oldest son of his father and his grandfather was, and so on. And Abraham would have had the opportunity to carry on and continue his father's wealth and to carry on the family tradition, as it were. But God called Abraham to go, and it says that Abraham went. Don't you think that the difficult task for Abraham was to maybe step out? I'm sure there was some trepidation. I was like, God, do you understand? God, you know, I mean, look at what... I'm sure there had to been some of that. If there wasn't, he probably wasn't human. But then, as you know, Abraham was also an old man and still didn't have any children. And God had promised him that his descendants would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Abraham took God at his word. The promise of God was the mounting force, or it was the stimulus that Abraham went forth with. Well, with a promise like that, who wouldn't go? Maybe me, maybe you, but Abraham went. If you know that God is calling you to go, if you know that it's God saying, do this and do this, are you willing to go? Period. Without any reservations, without any excuses. Well, children need fathers that are willing to go. Children need parents that are willing to take God at His word. They need parents who know that they are following God no matter what the cost. No matter what the risk. But you know, so often, men, the goal for us is to get our house and to get our house paid for. Maybe to have a nice vehicle. Maybe to have several nice vehicles. Have, you know, $1,000 in savings. Well, once we get that, that's not enough. Well, good gracious, you can't do nothing with $1,000. We probably need at least $10,000. But once we have $10,000, that's really but a drop in the bucket. We probably should have at least 30 or 40. And once we get that in there, well, I mean, what does that one hospital bill wipe that out? We should have at least 150. Do you see this, how we progress? There's never enough. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to save. I think that's the proper thing to do for good stewardship. I'm not going to tell you what's too much or what's not enough. But I just want you to understand, we get so hung up and we get so drawn in to living our life, to making what we call a good life, to making a stable home environment for our children, when actually God might have something way different for you. The best example, fathers, the best example, mothers, that you can be to your children is to let them know by example that you will and are following God's promises. No matter what it looks like, but that they know that you know that the Bible says this and that they know that you know that God called you to this and they see you walking in that direction. Even to the point that it doesn't make a lick of sense. The very important thing is that you show your children, by example, that you will follow God. Period. No ifs or ands. And isn't it kind of interesting that the very things that we work for and that we think are so important to gain, to get our houses paid for, to get some money in the 401k and to build our savings account, and our stock portfolio. Isn't it interesting at the very least that the last 4 or 5 years now, for you to be putting your money into your house in a nice house as an investment, really, you've looked kind of foolish. Someone who's lived in a single wide trailer at this point looks like a hero because of the way the economy has dropped. Your house isn't worth hardly anything if no one has any money to buy it. And I'm not saying, brothers and sisters, that to have houses, to have money in the bank is wrong. I'm saying, where is God calling you to? And what has God called you to? And are you willing to listen to His voice? Courageous Christians, number two, they follow God's power even against the impossible. If you're complacent, you'll say, well, it can't be done because it's impossible. Of course something can't be done when it's impossible. But if you're courageous, you know with God the battle is already won. It's not a question. It doesn't matter if it's impossible. If God is in it and God has said it, it's going to happen. What do you think of poor Abraham with his son Isaac? You know the story. His only son. And he went as far as laying him on the altar and had the knife raised to slay him. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if I have that kind of faith. I'm sorry. I think in today's time we would even maybe say that that's testing God. Because God promised you that your descendants are going to be like the sand of the sea. And you're taking your son and you're laying him on the altar to slay him. And that's the only one you have. Common sense would tell each one of us today, no, don't do that. You're testing God. Abraham, he couldn't see into the future. But he was willing to believe God for the future. That no matter what happened, that God was going to provide. Period. Even if it didn't make sense. God had promised Abraham that he would send him and let him get into Canaan. But Canaan was already occupied. Don't you think that Abraham would have looked and said, "Oh, we can't come into a land where there's already these beastly people?" But Abraham again believed in God. And it says that Genesis 12 on down, verse 7, says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham, 'To your offspring I will give this land.'" Again, simply a promise. It was not reality, it was simply a promise. And you know what Abraham did? It says, so he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Abraham worshipped right then and right there. He didn't worship God because God had worked out this miracle and he could see what God had done. He worshipped God because of the promise that God had given him. And Abraham somehow had this deep faith that no matter if God said it, there was no more discussion needed. He built an altar and he worshipped. Children, parents, children need you to worship the true God. Your children, parents, need you to honor and to glorify that God, that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, even when your life is in turmoil around you, even when there's no money in the bank, even when the car is broke down, even when you've maybe lost your job. But that you maintain that faith in the Lord and saying, it's done. It's in the bank. I know that my God has a plan for my life. Before Abraham seen the promise fulfilled, he worshipped. And what a huge example for us to just simply follow the voice of God. The third point. Courageous Christians follow God's plan for the future. If you're complacent, you're thinking, well, it's all about here, it's all about now, and it's about me. I mean, I've got to look out for myself and my family Because if I don't, no one else will. That's what we deal with today. It's all around us, brothers and sisters. That we first of all take care of our own needs and maybe even our own wants before we can go out and we can look to help and meet needs of those around us. But the courageous Christian will say, it is about the future and my family. It's not just about my family, but it's about the future first and then my family included with that. That I will live my life in such a way, Abraham lived his life in such a way that he didn't even get to see the results of the promises that God had given to him, but he trusted God for them. And I think he had a pretty good inkling that these promises that God made to him, that he was not going to live to see them fleshed out. But yet, he was willing to live his life in such a way so that in future generations and future generations and future generations, when there's a wedding in Due West, that the preacher says the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he would get honorable mention. Abraham would get honorable mention for being a man of faith. If you're a courageous follower of God, it's more than just this tunnel vision, this narrow view. But you're looking out and you're seeing what the big picture is. And even looking out further than what you can see, but looking through your eyes of faith. Understanding that the marathon race is a lot more important than the 5K sprint. And as I thought of that, you know, as you know, I ran into Abigail 5K. I wasn't the fast runner, but I was in it. But I would venture to say that if I would run in a, Sherilyn, what is that, the 50K? But it's like 26 miles. But I'm sure that if, I feel fairly confident that if I would run in a, I think it's a 50K, which is a 26 miles, that at the start of that race, I bet you I could beat a lot of the runners. Possibly. But these runners that are in for the 26-mile run, they're not looking for the next 3 miles, which is a 5K. You can pass me all you want, but I'm in it for the long haul. And you daresn't wear yourself out in the present so that as you go into the future, you have no strength left. You're looking out ahead, and you're realizing what the big picture is. And brothers and sisters, the race that we're in is not just a sprint, but it's a marathon. And I understand that as you run a marathon race, once you hit about 18, 19, 20 miles, your mind starts playing games with you. I've heard say that your brain experience, your body experiences all sorts of various and sundry emotions. You feel exuberance, you feel excitement, and then you feel anger. And of course, very tiredness. And you wonder, what's going on here? But it's your mind, it's your body playing games with you because of the extreme workout that it's getting. Doesn't that kind of describe what you go through sometimes as a believer, as you're running this marathon of life, and you're looking out like, God, where are you? It's not making sense. Why? But yet, brothers and sisters, we make our children, we teach them to obey. We teach them to obey right away when we say something. But we don't teach them all the principles as to why they need to obey and why we're asking them to do that. There's times there's not room for that. There's times there's not time for that. But they have to understand that it's important that they obey. Can we not understand that God is doing that to us too? That we are His children? And He's saying, just trust me. And the way your children trust you, can we not trust God in a much greater way even than our children do us? Because we know that God has never let down on any of His promises. Never, ever has He failed one single one of His 800 plus promises that He's made for us in His Word. Knowing that the decisions you make as a parent will greatly affect generations to come is startling at the least and very stressful at best, is it not? If I would give you some time this morning to just stop and think of men, let's say, let's talk about the men, of who have made wrong choices, maybe 20 years ago or 50 years ago, I know that each one of you could come up with names for men that today you still remember their bad choices. And maybe they made some horrible choices. And maybe to where they walked away from God, but later they came back to God. And He forgave. And they walked with the Lord till they died. But they will never get away from the fact that this is what I did. This is the record that I have. This record will never be erased. And brothers and sisters, those are the things that we need to guard ourselves. That we don't want to make those mistakes. Let's live our lives so that we don't have to go back and try to amend some of these terrible things that we've done. These things that we've neglected to do. Because we only have our children one time. We don't get a second chance. Sometimes we think, boy, wouldn't it be good if we could have a trial run with our children? It would feel good if we could do that. Like, why did God do this to put these young, inexperienced people in charge of these young children? That's how God did it. And I don't think He made a mistake. He had a plan for it. To teach us to walk by faith and to trust Him. How real are you this morning as you live out your life? How real are you to your children? And can your children tell whether you're real or not? I'll answer that real quick. Yeah, they can. You're not going to fool your children. Pastor Leroy last Saturday at the wedding, again I reference, he made some kind of a statement that to the fact of how much of a greater head start your children will have if you as a parent sacrificially live your life with the future generations in mind. And I think that was so fitting. Because as young people, as you live your life, that you will back off, you will refrain yourself from temptations that you know will drag you down. Even though we look at it, it's like, well, that would feel good, that would be fun, that would be great. But you look into the future, you look on ahead and see, 20 years from now, how will I feel about this if I will go ahead and allow myself this freedom? Because they tell me that all your past sins, as you live out your life and as you live an ungodly life, did you know God can and will forgive you as you repent? He will. We all know that. But your mind doesn't forget. And as your mind keeps remembering, they tell me that your mind even remembers in color your past sins. Satan uses that in such a dramatic way. And how much better? And again, I don't minimize the fact of Christ's forgiveness and His cleansing and His taking us to glory. But how much better if we can eliminate the baggage by never even allowing ourselves to be involved in sins that will drag us down and that will stay in our mind for years and years to come? God's calling each one of us to step out in faith and to do the hard things and believing God that He will provide. As men and women of faith, the commitment of the people that God entrusts to us will only be as strong as our own. Do you get that? Let me read that again. As men and women of faith, the commitment of the people that God entrusts to us will only be as strong as our own. That is as a general rule. And that's simply saying, parents, your children, you can't expect your children to excel any higher than where you have gone, as a general rule. Are you willing to live that higher standard? They're watching you. And much more is caught than taught. So stepping out in this faith that Abraham exercised, it has risks. But are you willing to take the plunge? It might cost you friends. It might cost you your status. But it'll gain you access to God's promises that have been fulfilled or are going to be fulfilled. Period. It's worth it. It is ultimately always worth it to live a courageous life. Are you willing to give up of yourself for the good of others? To even to lay aside some of your own ideas, some of your own ways, for the sake of your brothers and your sisters? In order that you don't cause a stumbling block, even when you say it's not a salvation issue, it doesn't even mention it in the Bible. But are you willing to lay down some of your own ideas in order that those looking in on you won't stumble, and it won't give them pause as they consider where God is calling them? Again, referencing back to the video clip we watched, what do you think those people that were going down the road with the horns, they probably thought, what kind of a fool, what kind of an idiot would be going down the road with his legs hanging out the driver's door? And there were probably, I'm sure there's probably people that would have went by and said, this just ticks me off that somebody would be that big of a fool. But you know, they didn't know the whole story. They didn't know what all was going on in that situation. And brothers and sisters, if you're willing to live out your life in faith, by grace that God gives you with His strength, you're going to be looked at as a fool. You're going to be looked at as crazy. But does it matter? If you know where God has called you and you're willing to step out and to live out that life of faith, that life of being courageous. God bless you. Shall we all stand for prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, thank you for the way that you are willing to work through us as your people, if we allow you to. God, would you use this message this morning and help us that as we look at our own lives, that we'd be willing to give up everything, everything, to answer to your call. Be honored. Be glorified through this message and through this service this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry. to the core. We will love our wives and children.